1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Elwin Lopez. Tomorrow marks a year since the Dobbs Supreme Court ruling overturned federal protections for abortion access, returning the decision to states. Today, 2024 GOP presidential candidate Mike Pence called for a nationwide abortion ban.
Every Republican candidate for president should support a ban on abortion before 15 weeks as a minimum nationwide standard.
The former vice president speaking at the Faith and Freedom Conference in Washington. Today, President Biden is scheduled to sign an executive order to increase Americans' access to low-cost contraception. The president is commending union workers for their determination to fix the stretch of collapsed I-95 highway to reopen ahead of schedule. The temporary fill and paved section reopening less than 2 weeks after a tanker fire caused it to fail. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court has ruled against a challenge to the White House immigration policy.
The Biden administration issued new guidelines when it comes to deportation, prioritizing removing non-citizens who are suspected terrorists or dangerous criminals and giving Border Patrol agents more discretion. The policy was put on hold after Texas and Louisiana sued, arguing the policy would increase the number of non-citizens in their states. A judge ruled in their favor. But now the Supreme Court has ruled 8-1 in favor of the Biden administration, with Justice Brett Kavanaugh delivering the court's opinion. Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
Hundreds of migrants are missing after a fishing boat sank last week off Greece. Pakistan says about half of the 700 passengers are their citizens. Crews rescuing about 100 people, recovering more than 80 bodies. Saudi Arabia says nearly 1.5 million visitors have arrived. This year's the first Hajj without COVID-19 restrictions. Elwin Lopez, ABC News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and Republican state lawmakers are headed for a showdown over taxing and spending priorities. Last night, the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee passed a two-year state budget that the Democratic governor has promised to veto. It includes $3.5 billion in new tax cuts. The typical household would see state taxes go down about 12%, but higher earners could get a cut closer to 17%. The budget also cuts $32 million for 188 jobs from the University of Wisconsin system, effectively defunding diversity, equity, and inclusion offices. Melissa Kay has more.
Republicans say DEI actually divides Americans. Representative Alex Dahlman.
It's amazing to me how far we've come on our campuses where we have now decided to base everything on a lens of gender, race, and economic class.
Democratic Representative Evan Goyke says Republicans are making a mistake.
Stop making this about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. Just for a second, stop freaking out that you think you're going to lose something, that somebody that doesn't look like you is going to win something.
The budget will now go to the full Senate and Assembly.
At Civic Media's Melissa Kay reporting, the budget also calls for $700 million in pay raises for state employees. They'd go up 4% this year and another 2% next year. Prison guards would get even more. The embattled head of Wisconsin's Elections Commission will be deposed in two lawsuits in Kenosha, Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Plaintiff and Pleasant Prairie resident Jay Stone successfully argued yesterday that Megan Wolf should be questioned in his lawsuits about the legality of the My Vote website and third-party absentee ballot applications. The state had tried to put a protective order on Wolf to prevent her from talking. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Wolf's future as Wisconsin's top elections official is in doubt. Elections commissioners will vote on a reappointment next month. Republicans criticize her handling of the agency, but her peers around the country say she's one of the best at her job. Wisconsin's drought is getting worse in a hurry, especially in parts of southern Wisconsin. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor map shows areas along the Wisconsin River from about the Mississippi to the Dells are under severe drought. Conditions deteriorated so rapidly that forecasters call it a flash drought. Rain in the forecast this weekend may provide some relief. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot's Civic Media forecast is coming up soon. Wisconsin's also getting a 1-2 punch of air pollution from Canadian wildfires and ozone from exhaust from vehicles. Smog is especially bad for people who already have trouble breathing. Next month, drivers in Utah will be challenged to clean the air by using other kinds of transportation. Alex Gonzalez has more now on Utah's 14th annual Clear the Air Challenge.
This might mean carpooling, using public transportation, walking or biking, as well as consolidating trips or working from home when you can. Kim Frost with the Utah Clean Air Partnership says nearly half of the pollutants that contribute to poor air quality can be attributed to emissions from cars and trucks. Frost says the alternatives can not only help improve air quality, but could also save you time, money, and gas.
This is really a way to bring attention to that and help Utahns understand how they can be part of that solution and reduce our emissions by just making small, simple changes.
Since the first year of the Clear the Air Challenge in 2009, Utahns have made 1.3 million fewer trips, saved more than 20 million miles, and reduced their emissions by more than 6,700 tons. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
I'm Terry Bell. It's 12:07.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Air quality this month has been unhealthy for sensitive groups for different reasons. This week, it's been unsafe levels of ozone, but the state has also been dealing with wildfire smoke coming down from Canada over the past month or so. Today, the DNR issued air quality advisories across Wisconsin for both forms of pollution, with some monitoring stations in the state showing the air is unhealthy for everyone. It's recommended that you spend less time outdoors when air quality is this low. Also, with drought spreading this month, the risk of wildfires has stayed high in northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin. The National Weather Service is forecasting lower temperatures and some rain over the weekend, offering a bit of relief. A Polk County man who shot and killed his landlord in 2021 is sentenced to life in prison. Michael Radke of Luck shot Chad Daniels outside of the apartment building they both lived in. Witnesses said they heard about 10 shots. Radke told investigators that he wanted to kill Daniels as soon as he saw him outside of the building. Radke pleaded guilty earlier this year and was sentenced on Thursday. A man is dead after a motorcycle crash in La Crosse County last night. The sheriff's office said 44-year-old Thomas Helzer was found dead at the scene after he went off the road on Highway 162 near Bangor trying to go around a curve. Authorities in Juneau County are trying to find a person who is using counterfeit money. The sheriff's office said a business told deputies that someone used bills that were marked movie prop use only. The sheriff's office said to watch for other fake bills in circulation. And Congressman Derek Van Orden and 15 others in the House of Representatives introduced a resolution Wednesday that would establish November 12th as the National Warrior Call Day, which would encourage people to call veterans.
I want you to call them and just tell them that you're thinking about them. And that could be the one thing that makes them not make a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Van Orden said he's confident the resolution will pass because it doesn't cost anything and it could help get veterans access to mental health care services. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The heat is still cranked up for today and tomorrow, reaching into the 80s still. Showers and storms will fire up in the Northwoods today around 3 p.m. and linger into the overnight hours. The highest rainfall amounts are expected into the Northland of nearly a half an inch, and none are expected to be severe, but heavy downpours and frequent lightning are possible. As we push into the weekends, a cold front will smack into this hot air and fire up more widespread showers and storms, with heavy downpours that could create minor flooding. A few stronger storms could produce small hail and gusty winds too. By the time the weekend comes to an end, we could see rainfall totals nearing 2 inches for the northern and western portions of the state. As this front pushes out, expect below average temperatures with highs in the mid-60s to mid-70s on Sunday. Have a fantastic Friday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers take on the Guardians. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers are in Cleveland tonight against the Guardians. Milwaukee trails the Reds by a game and a half in the NL Central. Now, right-hander Shane Bieber is on the mound for Cleveland against Milwaukee's Wade Miley. The Brewers' 36-year-old left-hander has looked good since coming off the IL with that strained back muscle. Brewers manager Craig Counsell on how Miley has looked so far.
It's funny. He's been feeling so good, and we talked about it earlier, but he really has. He's been feeling, you know, as good as he's felt all season for like the last 2 weeks. So, you know, we were talking about his rehab thing. Does he need one? And I was really convinced that he wasn't going to need more than one just because of how good he's been feeling. Get a little bit of energy out of him, and he settled in and pitched really, really well.
First pitch tonight, 6:10 at Progressive Field. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks made a move last night in the draft, trading up with the Orlando Magic, and got their man, Andre Jackson Jr., who helped the UConn Huskies and head coach Dan Hurley win the national championship. The 21-year-old from New York was asked why he chose the Huskies.
Oh, I think I just grew up a UConn fan just because of, like, the swag that they had. You know, like, the way that they carried themselves was different from a lot of other programs. It feels great that we played in the last game and we won the last game. That was something that I've always dreamed of, and we all talked about it, you know what I mean? We all had these aspirations to make this happen, and to actually do it, it feels that much better. I'm a champion, sure, and we're all champions, and we work for it, and it's never going to go away. That's what Coach said. This immortalizes you. I'm always going to be somewhere in UConn history, so, and I feel like Coach Hurley is one of the best coaches in college basketball, young and hungry dude. He's a guy that's going to work his tail off to, you know, get back here. He's not satisfied with this.
Jackson missed some time at the start of last season with a fractured finger. I asked Bucks GM John Horst about the pick.
Andre Jackson Jr. is a national champion, an experienced player in a big-time program, a guy that was really on the award ballots and kind of on the watch list for being a defensive player of the year in college basketball. Kind of a Swiss Army knife guy. I mean, just top-level athlete, great in the open floor, really knows how to play, great pace, great decision-making, high character, and just a winner.
John, Andre suffers the fractured finger, and Dan Hurley was asked, what are you going to miss over this next 3 or 4 weeks? And he says, his experience. And is that minutes played, or is there a poise that this kid has?
Yeah, some people just have it. There's a natural poise that's just obvious and evident. And so, you know, I can't speak to exactly what Dan was referencing, but I would imagine it was way more than the poise, the calm, and that effect that it has on a team, especially, you know, he's a co-captain, you know, so he's one of the leaders of that group. But I think in due time and with growth and development and opportunity, he could grow into that someday in the NBA. He could be a guy that is a calm and a presence with a veteran team and a winning team, and is never hurts to try to do that as a young guy as well. But he's a special individual. You know, he's a really special kid, and I think has a chance to be a really good player.
That's Bucks GM John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From gas to groceries, Wisconsinites are feeling it. Higher prices are making it tough to pay your bills. So why are some in Washington pushing a new, costly mandate that'll make things harder for Wisconsin consumers? It'll mean the credit card rewards you enjoy will go away. That's right. Earning cash back, points, or miles all could vanish. Washington bureaucrats think they know better. Consumers and Main Street will lose big. That's why we need Representative Tom Tiffany to step up and help stop this harmful new mandate. Please call Representative Tiffany at 202-225-225 3365. Urge Representative Tiffany to stand with consumers. Paid for by American Bankers Association, ABA.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 88. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 65. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 84. Cloudy skies expected. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 88.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined today by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
Oh, TGIF, Will. TGIF. It's been a month this week, and even though you were off in the desert, some of us were slugging through that month here in this third week of June, and I am glad that it is Friday, and I believe Mr. Zommers, who is the tremendous on the ones and twos for our board this afternoon, could probably agree with me. Am I right, Aaron?
Definitely. However, I do have one thing this weekend that I'm not looking forward to, and that is packing, because I move on Thursday.
It's that time of year again for a lot of folks. So that is where Mr. Alba is on this fine Friday. He's taking a long weekend to move himself. And there's probably plenty of folks out there in the listening audience, you know, planning for that as well. But glad to be with you here on the air, Will. Glad to be with you.
Friday, June 23rd already. It feels like just yesterday that we got into June. I don't know if I'm getting old and time no longer exists or what, but it's been a fast month. And you kind of noted, Luke, I think back to that quote, there are decades where weeks happen and weeks where decades happen, right? And it feels like these past couple weeks, it has just been nonstop bombardment of news. I have to make the joke, as long as you mentioned it, that for the first time in years, I wasn't chronically online while I was off working this week, you know, and I appear to have missed one of the great social media weeks of all time, because there was news story after news story after news story with extensive coverage. And it was probably pretty interesting and fun to follow along. But we are getting serious on this Friday, and we are going to be talking the budget plan and the announced tax cuts, reading from a piece at the AP News. Wisconsin Republicans passed plan to cut income taxes by 15% on average. I have to ask you, the audience, how would you spend our record $7 billion surplus that the state of Wisconsin currently has? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-967. 2789, reading from this piece at the AP News.
Real quick, before we dive into the piece, Will, not to throw too much shade at our friends over at the Associated Press. I think they do tremendous work. That word average doing a lot of heavy lifting in the headline. And the editor choosing to go with that framing, interesting choice. A lot of heavy lifting coming from the word average in that headline. Read it one more time for the listeners, Will.
Wisconsin Republicans pass plan to cut income taxes by 15% on average.
Yeah.
That's a great note, Luke, because we talk frequently, particularly in organizing spaces, about the importance of messaging and framing, right? Words matter. Words exist for a reason. Language has developed over centuries and centuries and centuries to be able to get whatever point is trying to be made across. And a headline like this kind of accentuates, oh, everybody's taxes are being cut. It's going to do such a good job. You're going to, you know, we'll all benefit from it, which is accurate. Every tax bracket in the state of Wisconsin is being reduced, and we are condensing the four total tax brackets into three. What is not being noted, and the piece over at the AP does point out that the average reduction being 15% for all filers or $573, doesn't note that the top tax bracket rate cut of from 7.65% to 6.5%. You know, a 1.15% tax cut on somebody making $1 million is significantly higher than $573. You go back to, you know, high school math, mean, median, and mode. It's not inaccurate to say that the average reduction would be 15%, but it's not doing justice to where the highest percentage of the tax cuts will be coming from. The largest percentage point, as I mentioned, coming at the highest rate paid by married couples who earn more than $405,550 per year, or single people making more than $304,170, would drop from 7.65% to 6.5%. The middle two brackets would collapse. So all married couples earning between $9,210 and $202,780 would pay 4.4%. Let's note also, Luke, the massive, massive discrepancy between those two numbers, right?
Those are very different lifestyles between household income, yes, income earners of 9,000 to what was the top line number you said there?
$202,780 per year.
Yes, very, very different households between those two. That is one income bracket now under this Republican proposal that passed the Joint Finance Committee yesterday.
And the lowest rate for the poorest earning taxpayers would drop only slightly from 3.54% to 3.5%.
0.04% tax relief right
they
there.
They are getting a tax cut, Luke, right? But it's a 0.04% tax cut.
Words do matter, and it's times like this that I'm glad I'm not the host, because I'd have a hard time not violating the FCC guidelines when talking about this.
we gotta have a backup button for Aaron's button, because apparently Aaron's teetering on dropping some words that he's not supposed to be saying, so we might have to look into that.
Not really, but it makes me want to.
I gotcha. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We got Aaron on the board. You can join us on the phone lines. We want to hear your thoughts on this proposal that passed the Republican-led Budget Writing Committee yesterday. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Again, the number 844-967-2789.
And Luke, the piece at the AP also notes Republicans swiftly rejected the Democratic amendment that would have kept the highest tax rate at 7.65%. Some Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, had wanted even deeper tax cuts. Remember, LeMahieu had proposed moving to a flat income tax rate of 3.25%, saying the state surplus offered a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make generational tax reform. Fellow Republicans balked at that plan, which would have cost nearly $5 billion over 2 years, quite literally eradicating the record surplus in a massive tax handout to the wealthiest Wisconsin citizens.
This proposal, much more modest, only burns through $3.5 billion, not a full $5 billion.
Being fiscally reasonable, conservative elected officials might say, Wisconsin's total tax burden, which is total taxes measured as a share of personal income, fell to its lowest point in more than 50 years in 2022, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which also found that in recent years, Wisconsin income tax rates have declined more for higher income earners than they have for those with lower incomes. This just screams playing politics by stating we are cutting taxes across the board. And again, as we have seen time and time and time again, record surpluses are being funneled back into the pockets of the wealthiest citizens in the state.
And I think it's important to point out, Will, where for a lot of individuals that have been keeping an eye on this record surplus, as we've alluded to several times now in this conversation, at first it was $2 to $3 billion. It's slowly grew over reports over the last year and a half, 2 years, or I guess just over a year, because all of a sudden, last year, the Republican-led legislature found out that this surplus was going to be available at the end of this upcoming fiscal year during this budget writing process. So this proposal, it did not come out of nowhere. This isn't something that just happened to be the final aspect of the budget negotiations from the Joint Finance Committee. I think it is, at least from my accounts, telling that this was the final proposal talked about. They removed all of the other provisions that were recommended by the second term governor. They voted no on a bunch of proposals that were being begged for by certain interest groups. The University of Wisconsin asking for more capital investment. Child care providers around the state of Wisconsin asking for relief to continue to be able to have child care accessible and affordable in the state. You can go up and down the list of what was said no to by the Joint Finance Committee throughout this process. And it's telling that at the end of it, $3.5 billion of tax cuts is why we had to say no to all of these other programs in this upcoming two-year budget. They decided last year they weren't going to do any legislation after 3 months into 2022. They called the legislative calendar was done. They sat on this surplus. They knew it was going to be there. And this $3.5 billion tax cut that, as reporting on it shows, disproportionately goes towards the highest earners in the state. This was the end goal. Republicans saved this for last so that for the last 2 months since the spring elections, when all of a sudden the budget conversations, Joint Finance Committee started holding its listening sessions that first week of April, this was the end goal, to put forth a massive, massive tax cut. And they waited. The budget's due next Friday. It's due a week from now. It's going to go before the full state assembly and the state senate. But this was the end goal. They wanted to be able to, as you alluded to, take a record surplus and return it to the wealthiest income earners in the state rather than invest in the state and address problems that we have an aging workforce. We are going to be 130,000 workers shy by the end of this decade. And instead of actually investing in the state, $3.5 billion, the half of the record surplus that we have is going to go now to tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. And again, I have to keep reiterating this topic or this idea because it's being exploited in this situation once again, that words do matter. Saying this is a middle class tax cut is not wholly inaccurate. The middle class is getting a tax cut. You need to be able to understand the context, however. Reading from another piece at JS Online, Republicans advanced $3.5 billion income tax cut that focuses relief on highest earners in state budget. The piece notes that under the Republican plan, Wisconsinites making between $60,000 and $70,000 per year, which is around the state's median household income, would see an 11.6% decrease in their net tax liability. That is a middle-class tax cut, right? Well, that amounts to about $249 per family on average.
Which can make a difference for a
that
household.
That can make a difference.
That can make a very large difference for a household that is earning between $60,000 and $70,000 a year.
Now, the income bracket with the smallest percentage decrease would be those making between $25,000 and $30,000 at about 3.5%, or $15 on average. $15 still helps, but again, you know, $15 to $250, there's a bit of a jump. And then here's where the big jump is, Luke, and this is where the majority of the cut is going. People making between $250,000 and $300,000 per year would receive the largest decrease in their net tax liability at 17.4%, an average of $2,157 per family. That would make a massive difference to people earning $25,000 to $30,000, $60,000 to $70,000. That's a lot of money, and it adds up very, very fast. So I'm asking you, Wisconsinites, how would you spend the record $7 billion surplus in the state? Give us a call. Let us know. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call. We'll be right back after the break.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Owen Lopez. Tomorrow marks a year since the Dobbs Supreme Court ruling overturned federal protections for abortion access, returning the decision to states. Today, 2024 GOP presidential candidate Mike Pence called for a nationwide abortion ban.
Every Republican candidate for president should support a ban on abortion before 15 weeks as a minimum nationwide standard.
The former vice president speaking at the Faith and Freedom Conference in Washington. Today, President Biden is scheduled to sign an executive order to increase Americans' access to low-cost contraception. The president is commending union workers for their determination to fix the stretch of collapsed I-95 highway to reopen ahead of schedule. The temporary fill and paved section reopening less than 2 weeks after a tanker fire caused it to fail. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Air quality this month has been unhealthy for a couple of different reasons. First, it was the Canadian wildfire smoke, and this week it's been unhealthy levels of ozone. Now, at the end of the week, the DNR is issuing air quality advisories for both forms of pollution through tomorrow. It's recommended that you spend less time outdoors when air quality is this low. Also, with the drought spreading this month across the state, wildfire risk has stayed high in the northwestern and southwestern parts of the state, but the National Weather Service says lower temperatures and a bit of rain over the weekend could offer some relief. A man is dead after a motorcycle crash in La Crosse County last night. The sheriff's office said 44-year-old Thomas Hauser was found dead at the scene after he went off of the road on Highway 162 near Bangor trying to go around a curve. And authorities in Juneau County say be on the lookout for counterfeit money. The sheriff's office said a business told deputies that someone used bills that were marked movie prop use only. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a lovely Friday afternoon. We are bringing a brand new approach to homegrown radio, and today we are talking Wisconsin budget surplus and the just announced tax GOP tax cuts. My question to the audience is, how would you spend the record $7 billion surplus in the state? Give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'd love to have you participate in today's forum. We have David on the line from Mequon. David, what are your thoughts?
So I'm going to come, obviously, from probably a different perspective than most of your listeners. People forget just a couple years ago when Evers signed the last budget, that was the biggest tax cut that Wisconsin had, okay? And we were told we were going to have a huge deficit if we were to do that. Well, it turns out that that did not happen. Now, granted, some of the surplus that we're talking about, the $7 billion, was commingled with some of the federal funds, But if you even take that out of the equation, the state was still going to have been, I think, about $4.5 billion in change ahead. So the way I look at it is this. If you look to our neighbors to our south in Illinois, you look to our neighbors to the east in Michigan, they have a flat tax. Iowa's going with a flat tax. And the reason why, even though Illinois is definitely more, I would say, progressive, and Michigan certainly is going
both,
more that direction.
Yeah, both states are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they recognize the fact that at the end of the day, you have to get business to come into your state. And I'm a big, now, to be perfectly honest, I've been self-employed myself for 25 years, working in commercial real estate. Anything that I can use to, that would be a benefit to me, I know that I'm very efficient with the money, and I like taking on different projects and hiring different people for different things. Now, if I have less of that, or if you were to increase the tax that I would pay, which is pretty substantial, that would inhibit me to some degree in being able to do some of the things I want to do. So it's really a matter of, okay, I think we sometimes forget that at the end of the day, we are paying taxes. How are the taxes being used? And if I look at it this way, Milwaukee is obviously is going to get more tax revenue from the sales tax. That's a flat tax, and that is considered regressive. But that being the case, again, everybody's got a little skin in the game. It's not just wealthy people, middle class, or even the poor. Everybody's in there at the same rate. So in this situation, I think it'd be okay to do that because I think at the end of the day we want to hire more people and to get them a job where it's a benefit to the community and to themselves. And that's the way I look at it. I mean, that's just my humble opinion. I obviously look at it a little differently in some aspects, but I'm also recognizing that our neighbors around us are doing things a little differently with their tax structure. That's, like I said, a flat tax. So that's the way I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting point, David. If you're able to stay on the line, thank you for that. You did note it. Sure. Illinois and Michigan are considered to be, two of the more liberal states in the country. Both have implemented this program. My personal concern is, as you also noted, flat tax is a bit regressive in the sense that everybody has to pay. For example, if you raise sales tax across the board, that's going to disproportionately hurt low income earners because everybody has to make the same essential purchases, right? You still got to buy food. You still got to buy a laundry detergent. You still got to buy whatever generic household items you need. And the wealthy, they're not going to notice that additional sales tax because it's pennies on the dollar if you're making $500,000 a year. But the income tax as a percentage of your total income begins to add up really quickly. David, we're going to jump to Joe from Madison. I'd like to hear what Joe has to think, and then we can get right back to you. Joe, what are your thoughts on the record budget surplus being spent on a large tax cut?
I would suggest that the large tax cut should go to those people who spend, and that would be the people on the lower end, which are the poor and the people who are of lesser means. They get money in their pocket, they go spend it. They don't send it out of state to some other place. So I would say that if you've got a $7 billion surplus, I agree with Dave. We have a big goal to get people into the state, and I hope we can keep returning, despite where we come from on the political spectrum, I hope we could keep returning to Dave's essential point, which is how do we get people into the state? My argument would be if you have a $7 billion surplus, you spend it on education, you spend it on roads, you spend it on improving the infrastructure that's going to draw in people and businesses. So, for example, if teachers are fleeing the state, start spending money on paying teachers. If teacher, because that education is just a gem. You're going to get workers coming to the state if they know that their kids are going to get a good education and it's possible to do. I would also argue that our consistent refusal to legalize marijuana makes us look backwards, and we're losing money on this. I don't like this way this tax cut is set up. I think it's terrible that the people at the higher end are getting 17.4 while people on the lower end are getting just this minimal amount. They spend money. They are the people that you put a little more in their pocket. There's going to be more happening in terms of our economic reality. But I hope that we all can return to Dave's essential question, how do we get people into the state? And I thank him for bringing it up. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Well, so Joe is approaching it from a more of a communal response, it seems. Infrastructure, teachers, this type of investment. Dave, you're taking it from a more a business-centered investment. Do you have any response to Joe's point?
Yeah, so this is what I would also propose. So if you look to our neighbors to our west of us, we do not tax, if you go to the grocery store, we do not currently tax items of food when you go to the grocery store. Minnesota actually expands that by not taxing clothing. I would expand not having the sales tax, and because obviously we know everybody buys clothing, that the people that are of lesser means in this case, I would suspend the sales tax on clothing, food, school supplies. Keep in mind, we're obviously buying a lot of stuff for kids and what have you. I think that would be a huge benefit.
The daily essentials, basically, and, it sounds like.
Yeah, daily essentials. So the daily essentials, and keep in mind, you know, at the end of the day, I think that would help kind of alleviate some of the, you know, the pain, I guess, in some respects. And I also would get rid of the minimum markup law in our state, too. Because right now we have an antiquated system where we have the minimum markup law, where be it a retail store or gas station, or they can't sell items at below cost, which I think is silly. If it's sort of like, why not? Why are they forced to sell something? I think it's like 9.5% minimum markup is what we have in the state of Wisconsin. So I would propose also getting rid of that, and that certainly would benefit people on the lower end of things as well. So that's would be my response into some of what she just said.
Well, and Dave, one of the things you noted from is the business climate. Here in Wisconsin, we have near record unemployment. We have one of the highest labor participation rates that we've had ever in the history of Wisconsin.
Right.
Is it not also important to try to draw Wisconsinites to the state by being able to offer the amenities that our neighboring states do? Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota taking an approach and protecting their residents' access to reproductive health care. They're expanding Medicaid so that the working poor, 136% above the poverty line, can actually have medical insurance and coverage. And there are policies that our neighbors are taking on that here in Wisconsin, not the case. Do you believe that we could use some of this record surplus, the $7 billion, to invest in the state and make it more attractive so that we can bring more residents here? Because businesses aren't going to come if they can't have workers to fill the positions at their businesses.
Right. So to answer your question, I do believe some of the surplus certainly can be used for some of the items that you're speaking of. But at the same token, I also do look at the fact that Illinois is also, like, they're basically bankrupt in a lot of ways. And it's because they have a lot of red tape with a lot of different things, and they do have a lot of benefits. But if you look at what, you know, Chicago sales tax is, it's over 10% sales tax. And they've done a lot, you know, they got tollways, everything, and they're still going broke. Tells me sometimes if you give out too much, you run yourself into a different dynamic. But also I recognize the fact that in regards with what you're saying, you know, for the state of Wisconsin,
Wisconsin, yes, it does have record unemployment, but I also believe that we can certainly always do better by the fact that if you have a good, healthy business climate, there's more opportunity for people that would not have opportunity otherwise. I don't want to have a situation of where, you know, and I remember this when Milwaukee had a lot more industries, heavy industry, and when they left, they took a lot of middle-class jobs with that. Granted, we are transitioning more into a financial and health sector kind of a state and what have you. We're still obviously in the manufacturing.
Manufacturing jobs were one of the largest rebounds since the pandemic here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes. So that is that's a huge plus. And I do think, again, there has to be kind of a happy medium somewhere. It's not going to make everybody happy, but
what if instead of a $3.5 billion, David, what if, just hear me out, one of the aspects of discussion that we've had here on Town Call this week, over the past week, the lack of the $340 million child care counts program being included in the budget. Roughly 5% of the record surplus not being included, but instead 50% of the record surplus being used for tax cuts. Would it not be feasible to see a 45% use of the surplus, slightly less of a tax cut, but then an investment to, say, like our neighbors in Minnesota that are currently making child care, huge investments in child care in the state of Minnesota. If you are a parent that needs child care, and you live in Wisconsin, but near the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota, you may now be considering leaving the state altogether if you're in a child care desert and the state's not doing anything to assist in that matter.
So to bring up the point, so what happened was during the pandemic, that money that was allocated to
It was a program being created before the pandemic, though, David. It was an issue. Child care deserts existed before March of 2020. It was something the state needed to address. And then instead of funding it in the last biennial budget, the state of Wisconsin was forced to, because the legislative leaders then did not invest in it. And the Evers administration decided to use COVID pandemic relief funds to fund it instead. We would be at an even larger deficit right now when it comes to child care providers in the state of Wisconsin if that decision was not made. It is not a pandemic era program. It was something the state of Wisconsin and working families in Wisconsin need, because without child care, the economy is going to get kneecapped. We are going to see ramifications of the economic fallout of not having more affordable child care in the state of Wisconsin.
Millions will drop out of the workforce.
Well, yeah. So, again, with that, there are some employers currently, obviously, that do offer child care. And I do think there's a benefit to, obviously, having child care. And I would look and examine, and I'm not familiar with how Minnesota does it, if they just do tax credits or whatever, you know, for the child care. But I think,
David, we
got a bit of a hard stop for the break coming up, but I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear the rest of your thoughts right after the break. We'll be right back with Town Call.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait, you do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle, so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 89. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 65. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 84. Overcast skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 89.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hallelujah, it's Friday. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking the Wisconsin legislature's decision to cut taxes and how you would spend the record $7 billion surplus in the state. David, I want to let you finish your thought quick, then we're going to jump back to the phone line. But right before the break, could you finish the statement that you were getting, that you were beginning?
What I was just going to say to you, yes, I understand the need for child care. I think we all are in agreement with that. The question is, you know, how is that implemented? Because I do know, and pointing out, I do know one thing with Minnesota, what they did have with an issue over there, there was a lack of control over there where some of the daycare centers were actually kind of padding the books, so to speak, and claiming that they were taking care of kids that they were not taking care of. And so there were some people that were criminally charged. This was a few years ago. I think it was back in 2019.
Yeah, it looks like 2018.
Again, 2018. Okay. So at the end of the day, at the bigger picture is, how do we do that? And I think we have to look at what we have with some companies, I think, and then try to say, okay, well, if we were to give you this, you know, how would you implement it? And so I think that could be a possibility. I'm not sure where that is. I'm not very well versed in that. But at the end of the day, I think there could be a middle ground somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, David. Thanks for sharing. Obviously, ideas are easy. Execution is a little bit difficult. Though, as you noted, if they were charged, the system did work as intended. And in the state of Wisconsin, as we've been discussing all show, childcare is an incredibly, incredibly impactful issue that we need to have some sort of solution for. The massive cuts to the childcare funding is just not acceptable, particularly when you're giving incredibly high tax refunds to some of the wealthiest Wisconsin citizens. So we have Andrea from Menominee Falls on the line as well. Andrea, what are your thoughts on the $7 billion record surplus and the decision to cut taxes across the board?
Thanks for having me. You know, I love paying taxes. It goes to a lot of things that benefit all of us in so many different ways, from the roads to investing in schools. I want to echo, I think it's phenomenal that we're talking about investing in child care. You know, how many families are going to have to decide which parent leaves the workforce because someone has to stay at home with the kids? I know so many people who can't even get in to, you know, meet a daycare facility to get their kids in there. Kind of what I was thinking about too is we're directing money away from the UW system, which has its own motivations, I'm sure. But we want to talk about the rising cost of tuition. We direct more money away from this institution. The cost of tuition rises. People can't get a college education and they're stuck in these minimum wage jobs. Well, when's the last time we raised the minimum wage? So the people mm-hmm. who are going to be affected by these tax cuts, I say lightly, if you make minimum wage, this tax cut does not help you at all.
0.04%, Andrea, essentially nothing, as you noted.
Yeah, if you make $30,000, I want to say roughly they were expecting an average tax cut of $15 for your $15. Annual taxes.
Right. And I know the conversation the other day was, well, these parents need to live within their means. And my question is, do you think they haven't already thought about doing that? I mean, how do you live?
This is not a novel idea, right? Oh, why hadn't I thought of that? Right. Gosh darn it.
If you have a dual income household and you both make, you know, let's be generous and say you can work at a fast food place that is generously paying you $22 to $25 an hour, which is well above minimum wage, but it still doesn't take you very far, especially when you have children and the rising costs of childcare. To put a kid through daycare, it's not even worth it. You might as well just have a one income household.
That's an interesting point, Andrea. And Luke touched on how Wisconsin's unemployment is at record lows currently. If you're a family and hypothetically, you know, let's use lower numbers just to make the math easier in this situation. Let's say you're paying $2,000 a month in childcare, but the second earner in the house is only making $1,700 a month. Why would you work a full-time job just to spend more money than you're even earning back on childcare? It doesn't make sense. You're going to drop out of the workforce. You're going to stay home. And that's just going to mean a even greater worker shortage, particularly for a state like Wisconsin that's facing about $130,000 labor shortage over the next, what is it, Luke, 10, 15 years?
Seven years. By the end of the decade, 130,000 workers shy, according to Ford Analytics, the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
So you talk about a worker shortage out of one side of your mouth, and then you directly contribute to why a worker shortage is happening. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Thoughts, Andrea?
Yeah, I just think that we're kind of talking in circles when we talk about this budget, because it's like we're kind of in a good position and we have kind of an opportunity here. But I think kind of the MO of some of these GOPers is to make it look like we're starving for money. And like we said on the show the other day, Wisconsin's essentially recession proof. We're in a really good position and it benefits one side of the political parties to make it look like we're struggling and we can't survive this, when we can actually help Wisconsin families. And like we said earlier, we can bring workers into this state, more than just fast food workers. We can bring doctors, we can bring lawyers, we can really do a whole lot with this. It can take us really far, and I really hope we take advantage of investing in the middle class and lower class for that.
Oh, sorry to cut you off there, Andrea.
And agreed completely, Andrea.
An update. Thanks for in the last couple minutes here, since we've been on the air, Will, Governor Evers meeting with upfront Matt Smith over in Milwaukee, saying that he will veto the budget as mm-hmm. is. So unless changes are made when the budget goes before the full state assembly and state senate next week, it is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. He's indicating there's still plenty of time for changes, but as what it currently looks like, it will not get his signature in its current form. So folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We didn't even have time. You did all the catch-up homework for most Wisconsin headline of the week since you took the week off, and now
we'll have to drop it on Monday then, Luke. I'll have my headlines ready. I'm buying you a little bit of extra time because I know you didn't do your homework. What else is new?
Yeah, I have my stories. I got my headlines.
I got to throw a little Friday shade. It's so beautiful this afternoon. So thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in the forum next week, please give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. We will see you on Monday. Peace out, party people.
Talk to y'all then.
Look up up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm